plate a potential nugget.
And let's dive into the specifics of the book, Sally. Very early on, you talk about how women often respond differently to 360 than men. And one of the things I did while preparing for this conversation, Sally, was I said, let me not get biased by the way I see the situation or the way I've digested the book. So I asked a few women leaders who are friends to opine on the questions I should ask you. And actually, I want to read out one of the questions I got from one of them. And she says, on 360, while women respond differently, do they also get judged differently? She says, I've seen instances where similar outcomes and character traits get called out differently versus men. For example, a demanding no-nonsense man boss is direct, while a similar situation with a woman can get her labeled as insensitive, aggressive, or even quote-unquote bitchy. And if indeed there's a different baseline, how do women comprehend and act on 360 in the light of that? So I'd love to hear from you on how women should think about the 360.
Well, I think that the woman you interviewed makes a point that I have observed and witnessed for 30 years, and that serious researchers, including McKinsey in their Women Matter series that they began, brilliant research in 2008, and Catalyst and other researchers have noticed that the same characteristics in men get described differently from women often. I do think it's changing. I've watched that change, but it's still nowhere near where the assessment is similar. So there's, I think on one hand, there are two things going on. On one hand, I think it's harder for women to get accuracy in their 360s because of some of the judgment that comes in on exactly what you said, on being direct. You know, she's too direct. What do you mean she's too direct? Oh, I don't know. She's aggressive. She's brusque. She's this, that, or the other. Whereas direct will be valued in a man. So I think there's some judgment there. But there's something else going on that I have witnessed. And this you won't find so much in the research, but I have seen it so many times. And that is 360s, women can tend to take them more to heart and to use them as an occasion to feel bad about themselves when they get any kind of negative evaluation and to question themselves in a very thorough and not always terribly constructive ways. Whereas one of the things I've watched, and Marshall would back me up on this because we've had many conversations about it, is that often, especially with very successful men, when they get evaluations that they say don't agree with or don't like, they think the person got it wrong, or they get angry about it, or they say, you know, it was a lousy test, or, you know, it was bad questions, whatever. So that's the other thing that I think, that there's on one hand differences often that are getting less pronounced, but slowly, in how evaluations are done. But there's also a difference in how much men and women often take the results to heart.
And back to the earlier point you made, Sally, about some of these biases in the way the behaviors are noticed in men and women. Any messages for the men out there in terms of ensuring objectivity while delivering feedback to a woman specifically?
I think it's very helpful for men to be aware of this and to be able to catch themselves when, and really ask themselves hard questions when they hear themselves say things like, I think she's a little too aggressive. I think she's a little bit too direct. And try to figure out what that would look like in a way that they would think was positive. Because usually it's either you're too direct or I can't figure out what the heck she's saying. She's so indirect. And they're not leaving much of a space between. So I think it's very helpful. And I think this is one area we've made so much progress, I have to say. As someone who's been in this 30 years, it's really changed. And I think men are much more, in my observation, open to saying, you know, I'm wondering if that might be an unconscious bias that I'm bringing into play here when I have that objection, and two, stop and sort of question themselves with that quick evaluation. I see much more of that happening.
Thank you for listening. Sally makes an interesting point about how men could pause and reconsider if they're falling victim to an unconscious bias in the way they're looking at the behavior of a woman. In this context, a specific movie scene comes to mind. It's the final courtroom scene in the movie A Time to Kill, based on the novel by John Grisham. Matthew McConaughey plays a lawyer, Jake Brigance, who's defending a black father, Carl Lee, played by Samuel Jackson. The movie is set in Mississippi during the peak of Ku Klux Klan, and Carl Lee's daughter is brutally raped by two white men at the beginning of the movie. And Carl Lee knows that he has no hope of getting justice, so he ends up picking up a gun and killing the perpetrators. Now Jake is defending Carl Lee, and this is the final scene in the courtroom, and the jury is all white. The final courtroom scene is a classic scene where Jake asks the jury members to close their eyes and goes on to narrate the gory details of Carl Lee's daughter's rape and death. He finishes it by asking them to imagine what they would do if it was a white girl. It's such a powerful, powerful scene. I would strongly urge you to see the scene to understand what I'm saying. You just have to go to YouTube and type A Time to Kill, Final Courtroom Scene. While this is an extreme situation, I find this as a great example of how we all need to pause and reframe situations in our head to overcome the default biases we might have, especially when it comes to gender. And the key question is, how do we build those pauses for us to ensure that we're not falling victim to these biases that are so deeply ingrained in us?